Lord God, you have affirmed through your word this morning, again and again, that you have the capacity to rule all things because you are king. And you don't rule things out of having to get your own way. Your way is perfect, and all your ways are just. We rest in that this morning, that you are the only way because you are the perfect way, and all of your ways are just. We rest in that as we pray over Judy and her family this morning. And we pray the comfort of the one whose very name is Comforter. We pray the peace of the one whose peace surpasses understanding and who is named Prince of Peace. We acknowledge that you are Redeemer, and so you are able to take all of the stuff, the brokenness, the grieving, the mourning, the things that don't seem to work and don't seem to fit. And you work all of these things together for good. And we pray goodness and mercy over Judy and her family. We pray that they would know your peace, and that those who don't know you would know that you are Redeemer, and they would surrender to your redemption. Bless this family. Keep them, surround them, and enfold them in your gentle, strong arms. We bring Heather to you this morning, and Lord, we ask for a miracle for Heather. We ask that every symptom that dares to rear its head against her would be brought under your authority, and she would know afresh that you are Lord of circumstances and situations, and she would know it experientially in her life. And so we declare health over Heather Hedges in Jesus' name. We declare your goodness over her, and we declare your goodness over each person in this family who is struggling with health issues, who's struggling with circumstantial issues, who's struggling with things that would say, we are Lord and we will lord it over you. And we declare Jesus is Lord, and his rule and reign is not only us over us as a family, but over us as individuals. And so we declare that rule and that reign over each life, each family, over this community, in Jesus' precious name. And we say thank you for it. Amen. So just continue. I know you'll continue to pray, and we'll give you updates on these situations as they come to hand. So bless you, and thank you. Thank you for being such a loving and lovely family. We really appreciate you guys. Really appreciate you. Now, will you welcome Pastor Dave Fenton as he comes to minister this morning?
Hallelujah. Merry belated Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. It's coming. There's nobody in the house that can stop it. In case you haven't seen Clark Kent, there he is. All right. That's what my wife says. I don't care what you say. I take the advice of my wife over what you say right now. Papa, just have your way. Just praise you and thank you for your goodness. You're just so good. Lord, you're so God. And we just thank you, Lord God, for the plans and purposes that you have that we understand that we don't. Lord, the seasons, the timings that we're in that we understand and that we don't. And Lord, we just rely and trust and put our faith in you. We rest our faith upon you. And we thank you, Lord God, that you're going to accomplish everything you started. And Lord, you have nothing but our benefit upon your heart and thinking of us. Lord, it just blows us away that you think about us, Lord, more than the grains of sand in the earth. And Lord, we just can't fathom sometimes this love, but we just say yes to it this morning. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. I'm encouraged this morning. Are you encouraged this morning? Do you know you're born to be in an encouragement? Did you know that your life is meant to encourage others around you? You are actually an encouraging agent placed on earth by the plan of God in 2014. Here you sit, all ready for 2015, and I want to give you an encouraging word to be more of an encouragement in a more of an encouraging way on the encouraging road you're on. So some of you might be a little bit downtrodden. Some of you might be facing circumstances and situations that we've mentioned already and that we haven't because we don't know them in their entirety or haven't been made known to us. And everybody needs encouragement at some point in their day. Not their life, their day. And now I look at Scripture to support that. And I actually want to give you practical ways. Do you know how you can be an encouragement? And hopefully I'll add to the ways you're already being an encouragement to people. I'm going to talk about practical ways you can encourage others around you before the year ends to springboard into what the new year has in store. Wouldn't it be great to know everything that's going to happen? No, it wouldn't, because half of us wouldn't get out of bed, let's be honest. Hey? And that's God's plan. He'll spoon-feed us along the way and encourage us to be in a position of strength. If you have Jesus, do you know you're in a position of strength? You know, any military action that takes place, you want to be in the position of strength over your enemies. You want to go from strength to strength. We're going from strength to strength. Do you know you're strong this morning? Do you know how I know that? You're here. Only wimps would not carry on life on earth. Life is hard. How many know that? Life has a lot of difficulties, a lot of pressures, a lot of things they didn't give you in your instructions when you were a little kid. They didn't give you what it was going to be like through adolescence, teenage years, early 20s, 30s, 40s. And this morning, I'm so blessed I have Grandfather with me today. Grandfather's going to be 95 soon. And he's such an encouragement. Now, he took the easy way this year. He flew up this year. He didn't drive like last year, only because he just got a knee replacement at 94. And so life continues on. And as you do, becoming soon to be 95, he's going to be a best man in a wedding when he goes back to New South Wales. And I think that's great. I think it's so encouraging. I think that is the most wonderful news, you know. It's encouraging to see, you know, really, Bruce is an encouragement to my life, my wife's life, his great-granddaughter's life, but also those around him. And God gives us these bits of encouragement. Looking in the Scripture in 2 Timothy 4:2, it says, "Preach the word, be prepared. Be prepared. In season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction." Well, we won't correct or rebuke this morning. We'll give you a day of reprieve as you come to church. Eh? That's a joke, everybody. Relax. So we do want to encourage, though. I want to emphasize the word encourage this morning. Are you in courage this morning? Are you I-N-C-O-U-R-A-G-E? Are you encouraged this morning? Are you courageous in your heart, bold in your heart to stand for Jesus? Because in the days that lay ahead, in the years that progress through, I believe it's going to take courage to be a believing believer. It won't take any courage at all to be religious. You can be rubber stamped. Oh, yeah. A little bit weird, but okay, we'll accept him. But if you're going to be believing believer, I want to encourage you, it's going to take courage. If you're going to stand up and be called fanatical and radical, that you actually believe on laying on of hands and prophesying and tongues, you actually believe in releasing the power of God through your life and asking God to release angels, if you actually stand on the word of God or believe any ounce of faith in Christ and promote that verbally or by your actions, more and more we're going to be labeled as unreasonable, as fanatical. Do you know that there's a referendum, there's actually verbiage in the UN that to be a Christian is subhuman. You're called subhuman by the UN legislation. And so you have to be encouraged to be a believer. There's a grassroots swelling of people who are encouraging one another. And can I say, that's why I say we need to daily encourage one another to live the life Christ has for us to live. I dare you to go into the pub next to where you live and start sharing Jesus without courage. It won't work. You need courage to walk into places where, let's say, the world is very evident. Where the world parties, where the world lives, how the world acts and talks. It takes courage, and it takes one another, you and I, to encourage each other to live the standard of the cross of Christ, to be blood-bought, blood-washed, not ashamed, not cowering, not making excuses for living for the truth. Because the truth isn't some piece of paper. The truth is a person. His name is Jesus. Jesus loves sinners. I believe that he encourages us to love the sinner, to love those who have not yet said yes to his love, but needs a mouthpiece to go and tell him about his love, to go show his love. 2 Corinthians 7:5-7, for even when we came to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were afflicted on every side, conflicts without, meaning outside, and fears within. But God, who comforts the depressed, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted in you, as he reported to us your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoice even more. There's a guy in Fiji named Taitu. His name translates in English, Titus. He's a very encouraging, demeanored man. He's a lovely man in his 40s who went to YWAM and actually went to Bible school. He's a very unique individual because he's an islander, but he speaks fluent Hindi. And there's a rift between the islander community and the Hindi-speaking community in Fiji. And he's actually allowed his life to be led by the Lord, where he's an assistant pastor in a Hindi-speaking church as an islander-born man. And his name says it all for me. I just want to read to you. I don't know if you've ever studied the life of Titus in the Bible. I think it's interesting, and I want to encourage you this morning, reading from 2 Corinthians, that God used a man named Titus to bring encouragement. Do you know God doesn't need man? But he chooses to partner with humanity, and I want to see it as an encouragement to us this morning, that God wants us to be like Titus. That God chooses to use men and women in our life to bring encouragement at times where we need encouragement. God is so powerful that he can actually limit himself to use humanity in his plan. An infinite God can use a finite being to bring encouragement, to help those and stimulate and spur on you to stay in courage. Only the courageous stay in Christ. You look back in the Roman Colosseums, there's no wimps standing in the middle of the forum when lions came after them. The very plot that the enemy, in his evil, divisive ways, meant to destroy Christianity by making terror and fear and lions and gladiators and a bloodbath, trying to use the scheme to denounce and also wipe out the very faith they sought as a blight against Rome. Never grew so fast. It actually came upon the enemy's head, because as soon as they started to kill Christians in the Colosseum, the numbers started to swell, and house groups and slaves converting to Christ. Because of the believers' courage, they were encouraging each other by singing songs in the face of the lion's terror. They would actually, these are accounts of slaves being pushed into the Colosseum, preaching the gospel behind them so that others would hear as they walked out to the jaunt and to the tirade of things being said to them, derogatory remarks. They would preach the gospel and herald the name of Christ even unto their death. Titus is a Gentile that was converted. He's not a Jew. Titus was a conversion of Paul. We can see that in Galatians 2:20. He was led to Christ by Paul. We can see that in Titus chapter 1, verse 4. He was actually drawn into the ministry as a co-worker with Paul and Barnabas. He was there at the Jerusalem Council, Acts chapter 15. And he actually served the city of Corinth, the Corinthians. He was a minister to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 8. Titus hand-delivered the epistle of 2 Corinthians to the intended readers. He actually organized the collection for the needy saints in Jerusalem, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 as well. Titus and Paul went to Crete, and that's where, for the latter part of Titus's life, he served the people of Crete. And he was appointed, he actually appointed the elders of the different cities where the church was growing. He was the one that appointed the elders in their positions and watched over those elders in Titus chapter 1, verse 5. We see that. Titus was such an encourager that Paul longed to have Titus and mentions him in the scripture as one that just brought an encouragement in his life to those that needed encouragement. Paul was imprisoned in Rome, and Titus visits him in Rome, bringing encouragement much needed to his prison term. Titus actually evangelized a place called Dalmatia in 2 Timothy 4:10. That became Yugoslavia. Today it's Serbia and Montenegro. So he had a part to spread the gospel into modern-day Europe and influence the church there. Titus was, again, not a Jew. He was actually a symbol used by Paul. He was an agent of encouragement against a heresy that had taken hold during the day, a thing called Judaizing, that they wanted to force the Gentiles to become circumcised like their Jewish counterparts. And so Titus was used to combat the forced religious practice in the eyes of Paul that was unnecessary to be a believer. Imagine if we all converted and they say, sorry, your flesh has to be cut. You have to be like these people to be true believers. Well, it's not biblical. And so Titus was one who encouraged those to stand in the way of relationship against pressures from within church ranks, from believing ranks. We can see that in Galatians 5, 1 through 6. Through difficult times of Corinth and Crete, Titus was the encouragement that God used to help many people stand against the tide of heresy and religion and pressure to become something that God didn't intend. He actually loved the Corinthian church. We can see this in 2 Corinthians 8, 16 through 17. It says that he has much enthusiasm on his own initiative to go to Corinth. He had to return to Corinth. And it says he had much enthusiasm because he loved the people. Do you know if you love somebody, you'll encourage them? Do you know to encourage someone else is a selfless act? In a day where we live, where selfishness is at an all-time high, I don't think I've ever seen a society so selfish, have you? But to encourage someone else is to put someone else before yourself, ahead of yourself, above yourself, which Scripture tells us to do. In encouragement, someone who's going to bring encouragement, to be an encourager, it's a selfless act. And I submit to you that we need to be better encouragers to get ourselves out of the target and get others inside the target, to support others in their journey. Getting back to my first page, if I can find it. 2 Corinthians 1:3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, the Father of compassion, the God of all. Say the word all. All comfort. God's the initiator of all comfort. He's the initiator of using people like yourselves, like those around you, to bring much-needed encouraging. 2 Corinthians 1:4, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. I get comfort so I can give comfort. God gives me comfort so I understand what comfort is. I'm encouraged by God, therefore I can encourage others, because guess what? It's not my encouragement. It's His. It's His Spirit. It's His peace. It's His joy. It's His love. It's the very embodiment of Christ that encourages me to keep walking the faith that I've chosen to walk out, that I've chosen to walk day by day. God encourages me to do that so that I have strength to encourage you to keep going. Do you know you need each other? Do you know you need me and I need you? Did you know that? Do you know you need your neighbor today? Do you know you need a cheerleader in your life? Do you know there's a God in heaven who's cheering you on to the finish line? But He places people in your life, and that's your neighbor right there this morning. Look at your neighbor and see an encourager. See somebody who can stir you on to encourage you to finish the race. There says there's a cloud of witnesses watching. Do you know what they're doing? Come on. They're cheering your life to finish well. They're cheering your life not to be distracted, not to be knocked off course by the very situation you're in right this second, or the situation that lays up ahead in 2015. God only knows what that might look like. It's putting our trust in a God who encourages us through the immediate and through the future. God's plan was always to comfort us with Himself. And so when Jesus ascended to the Father, what happened? He sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. John 14:16, the Holy Spirit is our Comforter. God is with us, hallelujah, even today. God's with us. The Holy Spirit is God. And the Holy Spirit is here to comfort us. But He's here to encourage us to keep walking the path in and towards Christ. 1 Corinthians 16:17. I was glad when Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus arrived, because they have supplied what was lacking from you. Again, names of men, people that God uses to encourage humanity. God using humanity who's following God, filled with God, to encourage others to stay filled and walking with God. The word, the name Titus, it actually is disputed, and it's really not known what the word Titus means. However, this next guy, Stephanas, means crown. Next guy mentioned, Fortunatus, means fortunate or prosperous. Achaicus means sad or sorrow. Let me use these names what I believe maybe might be a prophetic moment for us this morning. Do you know God will use unknown things to you to encourage you? He'll use unknown sources in your life to be an encouragement to you. Do you know he'll make you the unknown element? He'll make you the mystery X factor in someone's life. Never saw you coming. Never met you before. You're just an aisle six, getting your gherkins and bread and little chook. Going to have your nice little sanger, eh? Just going to mind your own business. And all of a sudden, the highlight comes to you that I need to give this person an encouraging word. They never met you before. They never heard of you. They don't know your name. You didn't even offer your name. You just give them this encouraging smile or handshake. You give them a hug. You give them a word. You give them a scripture. You give them a smile and just this little thing that you see. Look, I just see this. You go away. And it's the very thing the person needs to keep going on, to have that seed planted, that there's still humanity that's nice and kind and hope-filled and joyful and peaceful. It's the very thing that stops them from committing suicide that you had no idea that they were planning. The power of encouragement changes and transforms lives. However, it's not always known of who and when it'll come. But our trust is in the Lord, that God would use us as an unknown quantity, entity in someone's life, like he did Titus to so many. Stephanes means crown. The crown speaks of authority. Do you know that God, who is the authority of all, has placed his life within you? Do you know you have the authority to go around and encourage everybody? You have the authority of heaven to go around and be the encouraging agent that you're called to be in someone's life today. You might already be sitting next to them this morning. Fortunatus is prosperous. Do you know that as you are encouraged, it brings prosperity to a life. It brings life to a life to bring encouragement to someone, to bring courage into someone. It's very fortunate. It's a very fortunate moment when someone is used or God himself is used in the moment that we need. Archakos is sad and sorrow. Do you know that God can even use you to be an encouragement when you're in sadness or sorrow? It's not a prerequisite to be at an all-time high to be an encourager. If that were the case, very few of us would be encouragers. It's not that we live in elation 100% of the time. I don't know about you, but I have some down moments. I have some moments where I have reflection and I have some sadness. But yet the moment takes over that I know I have to encourage so-and-so beyond my sadness and sorrow. That's why it's a selfless act. Because if I'm in the middle of the target of my life, in my view, if I'm the most important thing in life, I got news for you. It's not going to be a very full of luster life. It's going to be a very minimal, very lackluster, very hard life. Because we're created to serve. We're created to give. And guess what? There's nothing of me to give. That's why I love that scripture, that the one who is my encourager I have within me so I can encourage others with him. That's not reliant on my intelligence. And everyone said, thank God. Or your good looks, or your money, or your experience, or your wonderful habits, or your wonderful hobbies, your talents. Do you know you can do the best encouragement by just sitting with someone? Not saying a word. What encourages them? That you're sitting with them. It's a symbolism. I'm with you. I'm here with you. I'm just going to sit with you in the moment. I'm going to just be near you. Do you know that we need to believe in the new year what God has told us, that when his light shines in us, it shines outside of us? That when you walk into an atmosphere, you automatically bring the encouragement of heaven because God's within you. You change atmosphere. You have to say a word. You talking is a bonus. Sometimes it might not be. Depends if we've got the words of heaven. My words, I can tell you, there's no bonus. But if I speak the words of heaven, if I speak the word of the Lord, then it's definitely a bonus. There's a few examples of people who were encouraging. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, we see Joshua. Joshua was given the task to take over for Moses. It was a big shoes to fill job. He was required to lead the people of Israel. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you in 2015, Flame Tree. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Have you ever been dealt an overwhelming task? Have you ever been presented with a task that is too big for you, and you are definitely the first person to realize that? That's Joshua. God encourages him. Joshua 1:9. You know, God gave him the ability, the capability. God himself encouraged the man of God to take on the role that God had for him. Do you know God has a role for you? It's called destiny. And at different parts of your destiny, you're going to be called to do different things. And every one of them, I'm going to tell you, it's too big for you. You can't do it. It's you don't have enough money, you don't have enough resource, you don't have enough brains, you don't have enough education, you don't got enough friends, you don't have enough networking, you don't have enough experience, whatever. But I can tell you who the gap filler is. I can tell you who the difference maker is. The Holy Spirit has a wonderful task to be your comforter and encourager. He's the one who empowers you. He's the one that ticks all the boxes to make what you're called to do happen. You're like Joshua. And can I say this morning, if you feel like God's calling you to something and you haven't accomplished it yet, or you feel like God's calling you to something new, I just want to tell you this, fear not. Because if God called you to it, God's going to enable you. God's going to make a way for you. And there might be some Tituses that you don't even know about sitting next to you. They're going to cheer you on to the end. How about Israel? Exodus chapter 16. Israel was fed for 40 years manna from heaven. How do you like that room service? Would you like that room service in 2015? Hey, breakfast is served. Don't worry about it. Need some bacon, eggs, toast. You want it all nice, some pancakes, a little extra maple syrup for you, little vanilla ice cream on the side. Don't worry about it. For 40 years, God will give you breakfast. Yeah, I know. A lot of loose translation in there. I know. Just have fun. Yeah, just have fun. Some of you might never had fun in church. Enjoy the moment. Manna from heaven. Hey, bread. Angels' bread. Angels' food. God fed Israel for 40 years. And you can sit here and say this. What God's called me to. How I'm going to reach the finish line. I have no resource. I'm tapped out. Everything I own is called Westpac. Everything I own is called Suncorp. I got nothing. Yeah, but God does. I want to encourage you this morning that God supplies all of your needs according to his riches and glory. God's the supplier. God's got the warehouse. God's the storeman. It's not based on your good looks, good smarts, your good bank account. It's based on God's provision for our life. Can I say he's provided for us to be our encourager this morning so we can encourage others? I want to encourage you this morning that God is still the same God who supplied manna daily for 40 years for a people who grumbled and complained and whined and cried and wanted to go back to where it was worse, and he still provided. That's a God of mercy and grace you serve. You know, God's not going to pull the pin on you because you have a cry day. He would have pulled the pin a long time ago. We've lost the amount of times we've whined and cried. Whinged. Good Aussie word. But he's merciful and he's love and he's grace. Here's my thing. I really want to get it this year that God loves me. How about you? Are you sick and tired of the holdout? Yeah, but. Yeah, no, but. And you don't know. Yeah, he does. He knows. He made you. He wasn't playing hide and seek and forgot where he was hiding. He saw everything you did and said and wanted to say and should have said and didn't say and where you went and what you did and how you did it. And he still says yes. Just embrace his love. Just get over it. Can we just all get over it? Let's just get all over it and say, he just loves me. Nothing I can do against it or about it. He just loves me. He just wants to encourage me. He just wants me to make it. He just wants to resource me. He won't remove situations from us. He wants us to find him so we can get through the situations together. He's not going to remove all the situations, everybody. But we need a God in the midst of life that's going to happen. Life happens. Life's going to still happen. That's why we need him. I want to encourage you to stay in him so you can give him to others. Barnabas, son of encouragement, Acts chapter 11. He was sent to help disciple Saul of Tarsus. They picked the guy who was the son of encouragement to take his life in his own hands, perhaps. After Saul of Tarsus found Christ on the road, Barnabas was a constant encourager. Here's a good New Year's resolution. I want to be a constant encourager to others around me this year, like never before. It's a challenge to you to make it a heartfelt prayer. This year, I want to be a constant encourager to others. I want to be the best cheerleader. I want to be the loudest cheerleader. I'm not going to let anybody else out-cheer me, cheering on others to follow Christ. Do you know that I can't outgive God? Do you know that? Do you know as much as you give, God gives back more? Do you know that? So we never have to be afraid of giving out too much love, too much joy, too much encouragement, too much comfort, because he replenishes us, because that's who he is. He's the God of all comfort. Let's make it a resolution to be like Barnabas. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. Isaiah 35, 3. Encourage one another day after day as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3:13. Hebrews 10:24-25. We need to be active in encouraging one another. Active. Action word. We need to be encouragers daily so that we can keep provoking or spur one another toward love and good deeds. You ever getting tired? How many's ever gotten tired while following Jesus? That's why we need encouraging. That's why we need people spurring us on, provoking us. Stay in him. Take on you his rest, his delight, his presence. Stay plugged in so that you can continue toward love and good deeds. We need cheerleaders in our lives. I come from the land of cheerleaders. The United States is good at cheerleading. They pep the crowd up all the time in their event, in football and basketball, going through, you know, we're getting killed 55-0. Yay, we can do it. No, we can't. We're going to get killed. We're going to lose this game. But we're going to cheer on the players because they're putting in the sweat, blood, sweat and tears, you know. Sometimes it's ridiculous, embarrassing, you know, growing up. It's like we're singing that cheer and we're getting beat 55 to nothing. These cheerleaders don't live in the real world. Do they know how you play football? Do you know there's only four quarters? 1 minute left. We can do it. We can't do it. Sally, it's impossible. But they're there, always giving hope. Can I say that life is not a football game or a basketball game? Life feels very game-like at times. But can I say God is the God of impossible? Can I say that there are situations that you might feel the weight and the pressure and you feel like it's over? But can I tell you this morning it's only halftime? There's more to go. The game can change. God is a game changer. He can change the events. He can be the God of miraculous that he is. He can show up and intervene beyond all human concept. He can change. Do you know God's a healer of cancer? Do you know God's a healer of incurable disease? I stand before you this morning, over 15 years ago, as an impossible case of healing. Here I am preaching. God's the intervener beyond what human effort can encourage. He can game change like that. It's not a game. Life's not a game. This is not a movie that we're acting out. But God wants encouragement to be so much a part of our life in the new year. I really believe that. I'm going to give you practical ways to encourage people. I'm going to release you because I know you're eager to go out and encourage everybody you can. How to encourage people. Number one, I like this one. I'm going to say this after Christmas. Giving gifts. Hello? Ezra chapter 1, 6. Giving gifts is a way to encourage people. Number two, words kindly spoken. Isaiah 4, 7. Kindly speaking words of encouragement to those around you. Acts 11, 23, exhorting people to be faithful in their faith, in their walk with Christ. 4, written words. How about text, emails, actually handwritten letters? Acts chapter 15, 31, write someone to encourage them in their life, in their dilemma, in their situation, or encourage them just to keep walking. How about our missionaries on the field this morning? They didn't get a chance to get around a Christmas tree. Or family in Australia or wherever they came from. A handwritten letter, a handwritten communique will go a long way to encourage people as they walk out their destiny on earth. Preaching the word. Hopefully you're encouraged this morning by the preaching of the word. Acts chapter 15, 32. Faithfulness and faith of other believers. Like I said about my wife's grandfather, Bruce. He encourages my life. Just by observing your life, people are encouraged to keep walking, to keep going, to say no matter what, I can get up this morning. Even though I got arthritis and a cricky knee and a crooked neck and I got one eye that doesn't work real well, I'm going to keep going. Reading the Bible, Romans 15, 4. How many of us are reading the Bible? Probably not as many as we should. The word of God is a lamp unto my feet, but it also says it's health to my bones. Just reading the word gives encouragement to a soul. Read the word. I'm going to say it again. Read the word. Here's a prophetic word for you for 2015. Eat the scroll. Read the word. I believe that the church is sick, anemic, because we're not reading the word as much as we ought. It's not a religious act. I'm not talking about the five chapters and three chapters over here. Make sure you get these two in because if I don't, I'm a lesser citizen of God. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about food for my soul, food for my life. I'm talking about relationship contact, finding and reading about who Christ is in me, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Speaking in tongues. Uh-oh. 1 Corinthians 14:4, it says, when I speak in tongues, I encourage myself. Here's another anemic little bit of commercial. I believe the church is anemic and sick, and it's knowing who it is and not encouraged because we're not speaking in tongues for those who can. Speak in tongues more in 2015. Find yourself encouraged. Here's another challenge. When you pray in tongues for 20 minutes, something happens. I have no idea why. I have no understanding of what happens, but I know when you pray in tongues for 20 minutes, something happens. There's a breakthrough moment, and there's nothing like it. Just a little commercial for you, for those that want to read or take it on board. Number 9, by others who minister alongside of us, Colossians 4:11. We are encouraged by others who are doing the work of Christ as we live out life on earth. Everyone, let's try to be the best. Let's try to be the most intentional. Let's actually rise up to maybe the challenge of heaven. It's a good challenge. Let's encourage and be encouraging agents more than ever before in the new year. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you and thank you that you are the great encourager. Here we are, a little tired, a little worn, a little bit too much partying, a little much too ho-ho-ho. But you encourage us to keep going. You encourage us in our walk, in our calls, in our destiny, in our plans and purposes, in our families. Lord, to be encouraging agents. Encourage us today, Lord, that we might be an encouragement to others. In our families, in our marriages, in our friendships. Lord, where we shop, where we live life and work, where we go to school. Praise you and thank you, Lord God, that we're in a position of strength because we're in you. You live in us and we live in you. May we grow in understanding of what that really means daily. Bless all those that are here, Lord. Let them have a wonderful family time. And Lord, we look forward to the events ahead in your grace and love. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy New Year, everybody. Enjoy the day. No night service tonight. There will be 2 services next Sunday. Why don't you encourage as many as you can before you leave this place? God bless you.